This is Kevin Conroy, and I know that this week in Geek can't handle the goddamn Batman.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need.
This is TV's Mr. Neil of DeCN.com, and you're listening to This Week in Geek, a science train wreck.
Hello and welcome to This Week in Geek's Nerd News Network. This is episode 3 of the all-new, all-different Nerd News Network. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me is Ryan the Evenflow Merkley. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello. That was a mouthful.
Yes, well. Usually my intros are a little bit longer than that, but, you know, hey, whatever. So we're here, third week of Nerd News. Rander's off getting a job on, you know, sticking his leg out on some street corner, I guess. I don't know where the hell he is. So that's good for him, I guess. We are here to talk about geeky, nerdy news, as always. As far as housekeeping announcements, Mike Dodd is still doing very, very well. He posted some pictures over the weekend of people helping him move into the new place, him and Blair, and they're getting settled. So that's what's going on with Mike. As he has said online and some other things, he's probably going to come back. I think he said June. I could be wrong about that, though, off the top of my head. Anything going on in your world you want to bring up this week?
Nah.
Nah. Okay. What's your first news story, then?
Oh, geez, you want news stories, too.
Yeah, you're supposed to have two stories every week. It's not that hard.
The first one's pretty obvious. I mean,
the Oscars?
Surprisingly today, no, I vote on them. I already know who's going to win. No, the other one is less surprising than that. I was amazed when I got up and read the news that Bill Paxton had died.
Yeah, that's true.
And holy shit, like, only 61 years old. Mm-hmm. Now, apparently he died of complications related to a surgery. I did not know, obviously, because I don't know him personally. I didn't know he was going for surgery for anything or what it was for or anything like that. But still, like, I thought it was one of those, you know, fake celebrity, this person has died posts originally when I first saw somebody posted it.
Right.
And then I saw more and more and thought, oh, shit.
Yeah, as soon as, like, a legitimate news source comes up, like the AP or USA Today or something like that, even CNN or CBS or everyone.
I work for one of those.
Everyone that Donald Trump has thrown out of the White House, you know, legitimate news sources, not Fox, because Fox has never been legitimate. But I usually, whenever I see trending stories on Facebook, because, you know, they have the top three trending things, I'll click on whatever it is, and then I will search the post to make sure I can find a legitimate news reporting website before I even share the damn thing.
So, but, I mean, in terms of genre stuff, obviously he's done a ton of different sci-fi films. I mean, and of course, a lot of sites are reporting this, but I'll mention it anyway. Paxton's one of only two actors, and Lance Henriksen's the other one, who's been killed by a Predator, a Terminator, and one of the Xenomorphs from Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's done a number of different sci-fi movies. So obviously, you know, Terminator, Predator 2, and Aliens. Somewhat notable. A lot of people remember him as well for Twister.
Yep.
And I thought it was cute that, you know, the other thing I wanted to mention too is that Storm Chasers have done a tribute to him by forming the letters BP using their GPSs and just where they're moving to on a map. And that's pretty neat, I think.
They better be careful with that because the gas corporation might sue them for that.
doubtful in this case. But
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, he started out as, you know, most of those movies that are in genre that I mentioned were kind of bit parts. I mean, Aliens was probably the one he was in the most from those films. He was also in Weird Science as well, decent amount. But he made the most of all of those appearances, and yeah, eventually went on to be, you know, starring in a lot of movies. So.
Yeah, the most notable one from his, like, he got his debut in 1975 with Crazy Mama, but it was an uncredited role. The most notable movie that anyone would have heard of before his more, you know, fame, like, before even Terminator, was 1981 with Stripes. He was a soldier in Stripes. Looking through some
Apollo 13, a definite highlight. He was recently on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He was also the lead, one of the lead roles in the new 2017 Training Day series based on the original Denzel film, which I have not watched. I have seen the film from Denzel, but I have not watched that new series yet. So I don't know how that is at all. Yeah, and he'll have one more film apparently come out this year, The Circle, because that's in post-production. He was Earl in Two Guns, so another Denzel thing. I remember that. That's cool.
A lot of people, too, I would think, know him from Tombstone, which he was also in. So just in a ton of movies. Pretty much, I could sit here and like go to his...
Oh, yeah.
If I wanted to, I could go to his IMDb page and just list everything. But this is just stuff I'm remembering off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's in a lot of films.
A lot of stuff. Absolutely. Ooh. He was in... he was in Terminator, and then he reunited with Arnold for Commando, and then True Lies in 1994.
Well, he's a favorite of Cameron, so he's James Cameron.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but yeah, that's always very sad to see somebody. I mean, look, folks, we all know everyone has their time, but. And yeah, we may have not have known these people personally. Like, you know, we don't know Bill Paxton. We're not related to him. We're not friends with him, whatever. But because he has had the body of work that he has, we've seen him in stuff. We come to feel that we know, you know, characters of his and things like that. And, you know, I've never understood anyone saying that they don't care about a celebrity death because they don't know the person. If you've seen anything that they've been in, whether it's them, you know, bringing their own emotion or just playing a character, you kind of know them a little bit.
But anyway. More to the point, I mean, it's sad when pretty much anyone dies.
Yes, obviously.
No, but I mean, the people say, like, oh, I don't care, why do you care about celebrity deaths, that kind of thing. Well, at the very least, you've seen them. I mean, a number of people die per day that I didn't know of and I've never met and that kind of thing. And while it's sad, I don't have any form of... I don't... There's no method for me to be aware of it and of them. And obviously it's unfortunate, but...
Yeah, I mean, we didn't, you know... Look at it 20 years ago, hell, even 30 years ago. When we got celebrity death news, it was through Entertainment Tonight or something like that. Or, you know, I mean, now we've got the internet and we find out about this stuff all the time. But again, like I said, and like you've said, you know, you watch Robin Williams for all of your life and you hear about his passing in 2014, you're going to be affected because that was an actor that enriched all of our lives with everything he did. Whether it was his, you know, stand-up or whether it was his acting or his voice acting or whatever. It doesn't matter. Same thing with Bill Paxton, you know.
Yeah, and I think, I completely lost my train of thought there, so.
Okay, then.
That's great. I was going to mention, too, Judge Wapner passed away. Now I remember what my train of thought was, and that is I think a lot of it too has to do with if you grew up with these people in your life, you have this attachment to them as if you did know them, particularly in your younger days. So when I was mentioning that, that's what made me think of Judge Wapner, because I remember watching
People's Court
when I was at my grandmother's after school some days. So.
Absolutely. Yep. I remember that too. Good old Doug Llewellyn. Oh, boy. All right. What else you got? Because my two stories kind of tie into each other. So what's your other one?
Oh, geez. I was really hoping for some Nickelback to break that at night.
Huh. Funny. Funny guy.
All right, fine. Anyway, WizKids announced a board game based on a television show, based on a series of books that was originally meant to be an MMO / card game / whatever the hell.
And you thought my you thought my intro was a mouthful. That was a mouthful.
So anyway, this is a board game based on sci-fi, as in the TV network's The Expanse.
Oh, sci-fi. Okay.
I've been watching. Which is a show I've been watching because I've read all the books. There's 6 of the 9 books are completed. One of the writers is a protege / editor for the Song of Ice and Fire / Game of Thrones series from George R. R. Martin. Although, unlike him, he actually gets his books out on time. I mean, they finished 6 books already. They're already past Martin, and they started well after. Enough bitching about George R. R. Martin. So anyway, this started out as the two people trying to put it together, Ty Frank and Daniel Abraham, were trying to put together an online role-playing game with some sort of card-based elements and that kind of thing. And eventually, Daniel Abraham joined up and just kind of said, like, hey, nobody's buying this, so why don't we just turn it into a series of books and see what happens? And it seems to have worked out well. Each of the books ends up on the New York Times bestseller list. They sell incredibly well. The TV series, unfortunately, is not enough people are watching it because it's fantastic, especially season 2 now, which has been damn near perfect. And yeah, now it's a board game. It's going to retail for around $50. That's U.S. And it should work out well, since obviously it was pitched originally as it. So you'll be able to play as one of 4 factions involved in the series. Just not a whole lot of details about it yet. Personally, I almost wish it were more expensive because I want some miniatures and stuff of some of the ships from the series, mostly because they all look really neat. It's a very science focused series. They don't have warp speed or transporters or anything like that, and it's set roughly 300 years in our future. And a lot of the science stuff is based off of things that are in development right now, such as the drives in the ships are all based on the Epstein drives, which NASA's working on right now. So,
right,
it's neat and fun, and I like board games, so there.
Yay, board games. All right, so my stories, as I said, kind of tie into each other since they're both from IDW Publishing. IDW Publishing this May is going to launch Funko Month. Do you collect the Funko Pop vinyl things, or have you ever, I'm sure you've seen them, but you don't collect them?
Yeah, it's impossible. Yeah, it's impossible to not see them.
Okay,
well, I mean, there's entire stores of them at all the Comic-Cons here. You can find them pretty much like Hot Topic, EB, all these places sell them. So yeah, I've definitely seen them. No, I don't collect them, admittedly. I collect things that transform.
Yeah. My buddy Doug and his wife, they collect these and they have them all over their house, and they don't even open them out of the box. They just leave them in the box as a decoration, and it's just, they're just so fun to me, I think. They're not meant to be action figure play things for children, although I'm sure some parents may buy them for that. But IDW this May is going to be launching Funko Month. Insanely popular pop vinyl figures have successfully reshaped the collectibles landscape and are now primed to take comics by storm in a special month-long event from IDW Publishing. Funko and IDW are combining forces to bring fans Funkoized versions of some of the most recognizable and beloved characters in all of pop culture. Funko Universe Month will feature some of the most sought-after pop vinyl figures coming to life in 5 off-the-wall one-shots courtesy of IDW's creative staple. Ghostbusters, Turtles, The X-Files, Strawberry Shortcake, and Judge Dredd.
Which is interesting because, I mean, IDW does an awful lot of licensed products, and there's a lot of them that are already out there. There's already Transformers Pops. They've been around for a long time. Or no, didn't they have... what were the Transformers?
That was Mighty Mugs.
Yes, thank you. They weren't... Yeah, they weren't part of the... That's right.
They do have some fun... They have, like, 3 different versions right now of Funko Transformers, but it's all movie crap, and I don't mean the good movie. I mean the bad movies.
Anyway. I think Ghostbusters, though, too, I'm pretty sure I've seen them. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, for example, IDW has the Godzilla license. I know it wasn't listed there, but I know they exist as well.
Yeah, the other titles will extend beyond the core titles, so they're going to include special variant covers for Back to the Future number 20. So it's just variant covers for these titles. Orphan Black Deviations number 3, Dirk Gently, The Salmon of Doubt number 8, Star Trek Boldly Go number 8, Powerpuff Girls, The Time Tie number 1, Donald Duck number 20, Mickey Mouse number 20, and Walt Disney Comics and Stories number 738. So those are all hitting this May from IDW and Funko. I think this is going to be fun. I hope they do this more in the future. Like I said, when I was out in California on vacation over Christmas last year, just seeing all the ones Doug has, and just I absolutely just love the things. Like, I was one of the biggest Mighty Mug collectors. I wasn't the biggest one, but I was one of those ones when Mighty Mugs came out. When I found out about those, I was like, ooh, I found my new passion. And I had almost everything that I could possibly get my hands on. Now, I'm not going to go that crazy with the Funko Pops, but there are several ones that I do eventually want to get. And for me to want to get toys nowadays is a really big deal, because I have not wanted to collect anything since about 2011. So, my other story is getting some information from IDW as well. It is the May 2017 comic solicitations. These just came out last Tuesday or Wednesday, as we're recording this on Sunday night before Monday the 27th. Of February. So I'm only going to run down a couple of these, mainly dealing with the Funko Universe stuff. Ghostbusters, written by Troy Dye. Art will be done by Philip Murphy. The ancient Japanese prophecy foretold that when the Masters of the Four Winds unite, they would become unstoppable. Instead, the four masters killed each other in battle, proving the prophecy false. More than 600 years later, an ancient shuriken is unearthed, releasing the spirit of one of the masters to seek out and resurrect the other three in order to fulfill the prophecy. Now, the only thing that stands between the undead ninja and the destruction of the land of the living is the Ghostbusters. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, this is going to be fun. I may just have to nix Batman month this year and just go Funko month with IDW. Anyway, up next is the Turtles Funko issue. The Funko craze comes to TMNT, Funko style. TMNT get a wind of new Shredder-inspired cereal and go to the source to investigate the bad guy-based breakfast. An absurd and hilarious adventure awaits. I know this issue is specifically based on the 87 cartoon. That is going to be hilarious. It is going to be written by Caleb Goldmiller. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And the art and colors will be done by Nico Pena. Let's see, what else we got here? The X-Files. Everybody loves the X-Files, right, Mike? Sorry, Mike isn't here.
Except for the new season.
Yeah. Well, you know. So written by a bunch of people. This one. Heavy talented creators seek the truth and some laughs with this Funko version of your favorite FBI agents. After this, you'll believe that Scully and Mulder couldn't be any cuter. That's the only part of the solicitation that it has. Some other solicitations with IDW. One last Funko one I'll bring up. John Layman is writing the Judge Dredd Funko one. Check out the funkiest Dredd of all time as Funko takes over Mega City 1. Perps like Judge Death and the Angel Gang may strike fear in the hearts of citizens, but Judge Dredd is here to stop them, and he may be cute, but never forget, he is the law. I so want an animated feature of this Judge Dredd one-shot with Stallone doing the voice. Please, please, IDW, please! And Ryan is breaking his brain over there.
It's like a terrible movie.
It's like a cracked egg. Oh, boy. We all love Star Trek, right?
Yes.
So IDW has had the Star Trek license for years and years and years and years and years now. They've done Star Trek Green Lantern twice with DC. They're now coming out with a 6-issue miniseries, Star Trek The Next Generation, Mirror Broken. This will be written by Scott and David Tipton. The art is done by J.K. Woodward. The Star Trek miniseries event of the year kicks off. Captain Jean-Luc Picard will stop at nothing to get his hands on the Empire's newest warship, the ISS Enterprise. Be it lies, deception, or murder, with enemies and allies around every corner, Picard's quest to help the Enterprise and restore the Empire to glory will not be an easy one. Good thing he has a crew on board who will also stop at nothing to ensure total victory at any cost. This looks really cool. I mean,
they never had any Mirror Universe episodes with the Next Generation cast.
Oh.
Whereas DS9 mined that a little too much to varying success. Like, there were some really not good episodes of DS9 in the Mirror Universe, unfortunately. But, yeah, it was up and down. Actually, IDW's Trek stuff, some of it's been really good, and some of it has been not particularly good. So it's also kind of been up and down.
Yeah, absolutely. So, last couple ones I'll bring up here, and these are ones you can kind of comment on more since you're reading them, I think, currently. Transformers The Lost Light number 6. Roberts on writing, Jack Lawrence on art. You know that sinking feeling you get when you witness the destruction of an entire planet? Artemis and company are about to feel that hardcore. I know Roberts writes these solicits.
He did not write that one.
He didn't?
Nope. He actually commented on that.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, that's one of the few ones they didn't use his, apparently. So, yeah, it's the end of the first arc for Lost Light.
Mm-hmm. And some of the bullet points. 6 issues in, the end of the Lost Light. Okay, not likely, but a lot of people could die now.
Presumably. I mean, they're trapped in the functionalist universe, mm-hmm. as seen in More Than Meets the Eye, Season 2.
Yep.
It's been really good so far, and it's been the best of the Transformers series. The other ones have kind of yo-yoed. Till All or One's been fairly good throughout, or at least consistently alright. Mm-hmm. And then Optimus Prime is the last one. It's been quite good, especially when it avoids the Revolution stuff.
Yeah, number 7 is coming out in May.
Yep.
With Barber and Tremontano on writing and art. With the Junkion invasion resolved peacefully, Optimus Prime takes a moment to plan the Autobots' next move on Earth. The Junkion invasion? Okay, yep. I need to go back and read that, I guess.
This is well after the Season 2 stuff, so you'd probably have to read that first.
I know. We've got plans to... Yeah.
Yeah. I generally recommend skipping over Revolution. You can get the gist of it from the wiki or something like that, but yeah. It wasn't worth reading. Some of it was laughably bad, though.
Yeah. Also coming in May is going to be the first Optimus Prime trade paperback collecting issues 1 through 6.
Yep.
Also in May, we're getting Transformers Autocracy Trilogy for $30. You'll get Chris Metzen's and Flint Dilley and Livio Remondelli's.
Flint Dilley, who wrote for the original series and wrote the movie.
Yep.
Yeah, Autocracy, good. Monstrosity, enjoyable.
Primacy.
The third, thank you. Primacy. Ugh.
Okay. All right.
But the collection's worth it for the first two, if you don't already have them.
Yeah. I mean, I've got them on Comixology, but if I was going to get it in actual, like, print form, that would be the way to buy it for me, is the trilogy book. So that way I don't have to have three different trades. So yeah, that's what's going on with IDW in May. There are a bunch of the other solicits for IDW, a bunch of other titles, but I was not going to sit here all night and read them all to you folks. The one thing I will notice that is missing from this, and I have to email someone about this and ask them, there's no gem title for May, which is weird. I don't know. Not that it really matters, but it was I just expect to see that, seeing as how IDW did have the license for it.
IDW has a couple of books, including some of the Transformers stuff, that's shutting down for a month.
Okay.
Basically just as, it's a little bit of everything, but there's a bit of catch-up being done because they've got some of their artists that are behind on work and some of the writers. So it's just sort of a month to kind of clear things up, at least some of the titles. Certainly not all, but that could be all it is.
That could be all it is, yeah, and that's fine. I'm just saying, like, when I don't see something, I have to look back in the previous month's solicit for any company, it doesn't matter who it is, and I have to see if, like, the series, and because sometimes they will do that, and you don't remember month to month, and they're like, that happened with me with Eternity War from DC, the He-Man Eternity War. It was like, okay, no issue 16. Wait a second, what's going on? I went back to the preview. Oh, it ended at 15 issues. Okay, that's whatever. So, I guess to kind of pad this out, since news went fairly quickly this week.
Well, there's two things I wanted to bring up or mention. One is Batman Superman failed to get Worst Picture.
Well, that was going to actually... Okay, go ahead. Okay, so we're talking Razzies. All right.
So first of all, I mean, it wasn't the worst film of the year. And a lot of the stuff it was nominated for, I think they just did for the press and publicity, that kind of thing. I do agree. I mean, they got Jesse Eisenberg got Worst Supporting Actor for his Lex Luthor, which I'm perfectly okay with. And it makes me sad because I actually like Eisenberg. But yeah, he was terrible in it. And yeah, I mean... I don't think this helps keep Affleck
as Batman
in the there are rumors that he wants to head out
it's like I've been saying, he didn't his acting both as Bruce Wayne and Batman was great in that movie, but he didn't get a fair shake to try to make Batman his own thing. We all know, if you go back to 2003 in 2004, when the media interviews and things like that came out for Daredevil, he said back then he would never do superhero stuff. He would never wear tights again. And, you know, they backed a bunch of money up to his Batcave and said, hey, we want you as Batman because the other guy has too much gravel in his voice.
I think also he was promised the chance to write for the character.
Yeah.
And that's changed because they've redone his script. And to the best of my knowledge as well, he was going to be given... Well, he was supposed to be offered the opportunity to direct. Now, nobody knows what happened with that one, but...
Is he still going to direct Justice League, or no?
No, he didn't direct it.
Oh, so... Okay. Weird.
So, yeah. And then, actually, there were two other things. Sorry. One is quick. One is just that Marvel announced that the video games aren't going to tie into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which makes sense because there'd be too much continuity and that kind of thing. Not to mention people would be disappointed not getting the actual actors, which would be really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing, which might be a little bit longer, and this is kind of sad, but not unexpected, just that, you know, Patrick Stewart added his name to Hugh Jackman's in saying that Logan is the last hurrah for him and the X-Men.
You know what? They say that now, but again, in 3 years when 20th Century Fox or who...
I can't see Jackman doing it, because he has to keep in ridiculous shape for it, and he's not a young man anymore.
Yeah.
And Stewart, I mean, if Stewart says he's done, I suspect he's done.
Yeah.
He's a guy that, you know, it's not like he needs to go back. You know, he just does stuff he wants to do.
Yeah.
Backing a dump truck of money up to him, I don't think will do any good. He's already... I think he's already doing okay. He got $1 million. Or he got a shit ton of money per episode of Star Trek and the Next Generation, which is going to be in syndication and on release until the end of time. And, you know, he had another franchise with the X-Men, which... I'm sure he also gets some type of residuals from.
Yeah. I just think that the thing with... Well, I saw another story. I didn't bring it up, but I saw another one where... and this may or may not be right. I don't know. I'm not looking at anything, folks. But I saw a story somewhere last week where if X-Men was in the actual Marvel universe, like if it was Marvel Studios, that Jackman would stay.
Yeah, he says he would continue doing it. So... Yeah. But I don't think that'll happen. I mean, as much of a beating as some of Fox's superhero stuff, Fantastic Four, has taken, X-Men's been a good money earner for them.
Oh, absolutely.
Age of Apocalypse probably in the end either broke even, maybe lost a little bit. I don't think it would have made much money because, I mean, they marketed the hell out of that.
Yeah.
But... the other ones, I think, have made more than enough. I can't see them pulling the Sony with Spider-Man, you know, unless something really disastrous happened. Yeah. But I think by then, Jackman's going to be at the point where he just flat out will not do it. So, yeah, it's unfortunate because he... I remember back when he was cast. I had no idea who the dude was. He was too tall for the role. He didn't look muscular. There was all these... negatives, and now I have a hard time seeing anyone else playing it.
Yeah.
And then Stewart's the opposite, by the way. As soon as he was cast, I said, yeah, he's Professor X.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, you look at Patrick Stewart, and you see Charles Xavier. You look at, I should know this. You look at Ian.
Ian McKellen.
Thank you. You look at Ian McKellen, and you see, as long as his hair is in the right way, you look at him, and you see Magneto. You know, the same thing with Marsden as Cyclops in the original, at least in the original films. They can do whatever the hell they want to with Cyclops now. You know, they cast the original X-Men film. Okay, yeah, Wolverine, you know, Hugh was too tall, whatever, fine. But at least, you know, his attitude, his character portrayal really fit what I knew to be Wolverine from the 92 series. And they really did cast that movie well. The thing of it is now, if Jackman isn't going, and obviously, like you said, everybody gets to the point where they need to retire or whatever. What male... actor in Hollywood now could they get to be a new Logan? Because
Shia LaBeouf. Oh, sorry.
I'm going to punch you. I'm going to fly up to Canada and I'm going to punch you right in the mouth. But I'm being serious though, because what other actor currently, whether they do a young Wolverine, whether they do a teenager Wolverine, whether they do a 20 or 30 something Wolverine, I cannot think of any current male actor that can pull off that role. Now, if they want to just have X-23 and have the chick do it, I'm fine with that. If they want to make her a female Wolverine, I have no problem with that whatsoever. Because it doesn't, you know, she's her own character. She's her own established character. And you don't have to worry about pissing off Logan / Wolverine fanboys with saying, oh, it's too tall, too short, too this, too, you know, so... I wouldn't care if she was the Wolverine for the rest of, you know, whatever, until we can find somebody, you know, that fits the Logan role. Because let's face it, like I said, there's nobody right now. At least I can't think of anybody.
Sure they can find somebody. And remember, I mean, nobody knew who Jackman was when they plucked him out.
Yeah.
I mean, he pretty much came absolutely out of nowhere. So they could just do the same thing. I mean, Marvel, for example, has been really good at plucking guys who are not well known or were cast and you'd go, who? And yeah, it working out quite well. So
yeah, so absolutely. We'll see.
They'll probably have some time to think about it. I don't know. I've said this before. I know they want to go forward with the Phoenix saga almost immediately, but I would seriously consider shutting down the movie franchise of X-Men for a little bit and just kind of waiting, because I can't see. I mean, to me, it seemed pretty clear during Age that McAvoy and, oh man, now I'm blanking on an actor's name.
Fassbender.
Thank you. McAvoy and Fassbender. Fassbender in particular had just kind of had it with the series. I mean, Fassbender was clearly not happy with how Magneto was treated in that movie, which he was treated terribly. I mean, he's a major character.
You don't, you know, and the only way I could see them kind of making that up to him is if, and I don't think this financially would work, because let's face it, I mean, a lot of standalone one-shot movies sometimes don't work, but the only way I could see Fox making it up to him is how bad he was treated, not the actor, but the character was treated in Age of Apocalypse or whatever, Age of Extinction, who the hell knows, you know, is they do like Asteroid M or whatever that classic Magneto comic story is. There's one specific Magneto X-Men story that I remember that was really, really classic that, you know, you could always kind of go back to that if you wanted a really true, truly awesome Magneto story. I don't think they'll ever do that, though.
Eh, who knows? But yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, so the other thing, you mentioned the Razzies earlier. I was going to say we can kind of end this on Oscar talk. Personally, I have not watched the Academy Awards in years. I don't care about the fashion. I don't care about the winners. I don't care about, like, because none of the films that I like are ever even nominated half the time. And I always go to that old staple, Naked Gun 33 and a Third with Florence Henderson and Stardust and Mildew. Oh, God. But you said you vote on these things. Now, is that part of your job, or is that just something you do?
No, it's just something that happened. Just the critic, one of my critic personas is reasonably well known. So,
okay, then.
Yeah. I mean, this year, I voted for Moonlight, which I greatly enjoyed, thought it was fantastic. Last year was tough because I voted against my favorite movie because I didn't think it was the best film, but which made me sad. But I still voted for Mad Max Fury Road for a whole ton of other things, so that made me happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I use that as the go-to when people say, well, popular movies never get nominated. Well, that was a popular movie that got nominated.
Yeah, it was.
Also, I mean, also to be blunt, popular movies tend to be not great films in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I know, and I understand that. But I'm just saying, like, for me, you know, looking at it's like, I've never seen that movie, and it's up for Best Picture. I've never heard of that movie, and it's up for whatever.
But this year, for example, I mean, Civil War was probably my favorite movie of 2016. I'd have to think about it, actually. Saw a decent number of movies I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. But in no way would I ever, you know, rank it among the top 10. Now, one of the ones I did, that's true. One of the ones I did think should have been in the running for the top 10 was Deadpool. I thought it was good enough / funny enough. It succeeded at what it was trying to do well enough.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have the scope of, like, Manchester by the Sea. It's not trying to make you, you know, it's not trying to make you feel anything aside from laughter. So,
yeah.
But I mean, it succeeded at everything it tried, and it did it really well. So,
absolutely. All right, folks, I think that's going to do it for us here on the Nerd News Network. This has been Episode 3. Coming up on March 15th, we will have the first new topic show. Basically, it's an idea I floated by Mike where we come on and we talk about where the hell were we at a certain time. So 25 years ago, this year was 1992. So where were you in 1992? We'll all go around the table, give our ages, and we're only going to have people that were actually alive during 1992 on the record at that time. If the ones that were not alive but still remember certain things about that year, they can call in and leave a voicemail. But yeah, where were you in 1992 is going to be the first new topic show. Just kind of trying something a little different, a little fun, something that doesn't really require too much research because it's all basically memory at this point. So that's coming up next week. Ryan and I will be back. Maybe Randrew will be here. I don't know. No clue.
I don't remember where I am right now. Is that going to be a problem?
Yeah, probably. Because you should be at your house or something. I don't know. So that's coming up. Keep tuned to the pullbag. Ryan and I will, to the pullbag. Wow. Yes, the pullbag will be having stuff here on This Week in Geek, but keep tuned to Remote Control. Ryan and I will have Breaking Bad Season 3 review at some point in the next couple of weeks. I still have to get through all 13 episodes of the third season. I did start it. I'm like 25 minutes left of season 3, episode 1, so... So I'm working on watching all of that.
Got a few episodes to go, though.
Yeah, I know. 12, right? So I'm doing that. And, if you guys have any questions, any comments, please leave them on the post. If you have any topic suggestions for the topic shows, you can send us email feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Other than that, that's it. We're going to go not care about the Academy Awards anymore. So, I don't know. And next week, like I said, we'll have our discussion on the Bob Odenkirk starring and writing in the Netflix original film Girlfriend's Day. Which, again, we were going to do that this week, but Ryan didn't get a chance to watch it yet.
That's odd, because every week is Girlfriend's Day for me. I'm sorry, every day, isn't it? Damn, I screwed that up. Anyway.
You screwed that up. All right, we got to get out of here, folks, before he screws anything else up.
Ninja, vanish!
That was wonderful!
Bravo!
I loved that!
Oh, it was great!
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't make it!
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
Let's kind of start off with the asthma fear. The biggest twat, and my night got fucked.
I had a great time.
Fucked! This is the Fury. I'm bringing the Fury.
He's mad.
Where am I? Well, I'm at the movies.
What? It's not my fault.
Because you're being a jerk about it anyway.
What?
I'm a nice
so
guy.
So strongly. He'll bitch about it later, like, as you could tell. For the whole internet to hear. What?
I'm not
crazy. I don't fly off the handle. Like, what?
Stop hitting the mic.
No, it's to emphasize my point.
You can make any noise anywhere else. Stop hitting the mic. That fucks it up. Don't do that.
Oh my god, you're such a baby. What?
I just fucking did!
Would you shut up? Seriously.
This is the Fury. I'm bringing the Fury.
He's mad. What?
Where am I? Well, I'm at the movies. Like, well, no shit. You didn't need to fucking tell everybody that.
What?
Pre-show? What was the pre-show? So everything you saw before that was pre the show, which makes a pre-show.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher.
If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.